the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. In this recording, we continue to look into what the creation story tells us about the character of God. Today, Dave looks at the wisdom of God. The main reading is Proverbs chapter 8.
Yeah, well, we've been looking through characteristics of God, what we see in creation and what we see him revealing himself. And one of those, of course, is his wisdom. The wisdom, we have wisdom literature, don't we? Job, Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, a bit of Psalms. And we see the whole of, Proverbs is calling us to be wise and not foolish. And of course, wisdom, it depends how you define it. Someone said experience comes from what we have done. Wisdom comes from what we have done badly. I'm not sure about that. But one of professor, he served his university so well, and he was dean of the university as well. And one day, a genie appeared and said, "Oh, you've done so well. You've been so good, unselfish and exemplary behaviour. I'm going to give you a reward. Here's your choice: infinite wealth, infinite wisdom, or infinite beauty." Without hesitation, the dean said, "I'll have infinite wisdom." And done. Poof. And this happened all within the sort of the faculty meeting, and they were all sitting around, and he was sort of silent. And they said, "Well, say something, say something." The dean looks at them, he said, "I should have taken the money." But that's natural wisdom, not the Lord's wisdom. When we talk about the wisdom of God, obviously wisdom comes out of knowledge, and because God is infinite in knowledge, wisdom is infinite and perfect. Our knowledge is not infinite, and therefore so often our wisdom is not great. Wisdom ultimately, I suppose, is the ability to discern and make the right choices. And we'll see in God, who is, what they call it, the word is wisdom is inscrutable. I love that word. Unsearchable. Unending. We can't reach the end of it. We can't understand it. But God's power, our wisdom, of course, comes out of that. Wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view. Wisdom is the ability to apply biblical truth to all life's situation. Well, first we see God's wisdom is infinite. Let's read a couple of verses. Isaiah 40, 25-28.
"To whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal?" says the Holy One. "Lift up your eyes on high, and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, 'My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God'? Have you not known, have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable."
Yeah. Understand is unsearchable. Of course, when we talk about the wisdom of God, of course, the rest of his character comes along with his goodness, his moral, the power to see, the inclination to choose the highest and the best goal, and the means to achieve it, of course. Greatest goal in any situation, the best way to achieve it. That's what God is looking for. And when we see the wisdom of God worked out, thankfully, we have a Bible full of how he works things out, and we look at it and think, wow, that is amazing how he did that, and how he did it and why he did it. Of course, in the middle of the issue, those people couldn't see it. And sometimes we can get really in a knot to try and see why things happened. And sometimes God says, "No, you need to trust me. Trust me." Paul came to that point, didn't he? "Lord, why? And he said, "You just receive. You just trust me. Grace is sufficient. Rest in me." Because again, we are finite as opposed to infinite. Psalm 147, 1-5.
"How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit.
So there's God's wisdom. That is who he is. Now, the old theologians used to talk about the attributes of God, and was slipping into two groups. One was called the incommunicable and the communicable. About that, well, we get incommunicable is something that's, I suppose, beyond us and different. And of course, God, because he created us, he is different, isn't he? And the things that make him different is his independence. He is self-existent and self-sufficient. He's called his aseity. He's life from himself. He is life. So that's one. His immutability. He doesn't change. He's consistent. His infinity. Bless the Lord. He's freedom from all limits of time and space. He's outside of those because he created those. That's where we get his eternity and omnipresence. And also his simplicity. What does that mean? The fact that in him there are no elements that can conflict. So unlike me and you, he cannot be torn different ways by divergent thoughts and desires. We know what that is, don't we? And it just shows that those characteristics show that he is different. He is transcendent from his creatures. We can understand that. The communicable ones, what? Well, his spirituality, his freedom, I suppose partly his omnipotence, his moral attributes, his goodness, his truth, his holiness, his righteousness, etc. Now, when God created man, remember, those he put his image upon us. So what does that mean? We were made free spiritual beings. We're responsible moral agents, power of choice and action, able to commune with him, respond to him, and by nature we were good, holy, truthful, upright. In a word, when God made us, we were godly. That's when we were created. But of course, the fall did damage, not damage, it wiped that, marred that image, didn't it? Totally marred it. And I was lost. And of course, the work of God is redemption, where that's where we need to be born again, redeemed, and then the outworking of the Bible says being renewed, isn't it? Changing the software, renewed in the image of God, and that's where he communicates with us. And of course, wisdom is one of those communicable attributes that he gives us, making the right choices. Oh dear, we made some rotters, haven't we? But God says, no. And we'll see in a moment, maybe I haven't put this verse in, but the Bible says, of course, see where his wisdom, but ultimately he wants to reveal his wisdom in us. Ephesians 3 says that his manifold wisdom will be revealed to the heavenly realms through the church. And he can take people like me and you and change us, transform us, and show off his wisdom to the heavenly realms. And that's what his heart is. That's what he wants. And of course, we see the Bible revealing himself. He's understanding is unsearchable. Where do we see his wisdom? Of course, ultimately, we see his wisdom in the creation. But he is the only one, isn't he? Roma, with these words, he's summing up now Paul in Romans, and this is what he says, Romans 16, 25, 27.
Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for a long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writing by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen.
To the only. That's, again, uniqueness of who he is. The only wise God. Why is he only wise? Because he has full knowledge, so he can make the right choice, and he has the full ability and the character to put that knowledge into action. Someone said, wisdom is the right use of knowledge, of course. To know is not to be wise. Many, many men know a great deal and are greater fools for it. There is no fool so great as the knowing fool. But to know how to use knowledge, that is wisdom. And of course, to know the knowledge of God reveals, that is making the, and of course the Old Testament is again very practical, isn't it? In the making the right correct plan and being successful and in God's work, and that's why Solomon when have anything, what do you want? What a great, have anything, what do you want? He said, give me wisdom, give me understanding, because this, I got to lead this rabble, he said. You're probably listening to Moses there. It's like, I got to lead this country, I got to lead this nation. And the Bible says God was very pleased that he saw that that was the most important. Well, let's have a look at, we see his wisdom in creation. Proverbs 3, 19-20.
The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew.
Well, universe, man is the work of creative wisdom, isn't it? How, Psalm 104 says this, how many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. And thankfully, the more we know about creation, the more we see the handiwork of God, the wisdom of God. I was just reading this. Nothing that made by God, even though it's obviously defiled by the fall, as its place. We talked about those insects, and they all have a place, all have a work. We talked about the dung beetle. If it wasn't for the dung beetle, there would be still lots of dung. But what about these, the diatoms? What are those? The algae-like creatures, 100,000 known species, invisible, some to the naked eye, and there are a million of them in one teaspoonful of a lake water. But they tell us that these diatoms create about 40% of the world's oxygen. These little things. I remember our friend from Australia saying, you know, we talk about trees, and said, we've got more trees now than we have 50 years ago. They planted more, but he said over 50% of our oxygen comes from the plants in the sea and the water. He said so. Sometimes we don't get the full story, but he said these diatoms. We don't even know. I never heard of them. These algae, they create the oxygen. Well, why? Because God in his wisdom knows what he's doing. God, when we can go through, you know, you only have to look at those programs and just sit there and think, the wisdom of God, and that is who he is. That's our Father. So that's what God is. God is. And what he wants us to be. What about this definition in James 3 of godly wisdom?
Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show you out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace.
That's a great definition, isn't it? Well, we say, what is peace? What is wisdom? Well, this wisdom first is really when, again, wisdom is practical, isn't it? It's not what we know, it's how we live. He said, the good behavior is revealed if we are wise. And he said, if natural wisdom is what? Bitter, envy, strife, and this, he says very clear, doesn't he? He said, this is fleshly, natural, and even goes to say this is demonic. That causes bitter envy and strife and all those kind of things. So that's really a challenge to us. But then he says, this is what real wisdom is. Pure, that means holy, obviously, not contaminated. Peaceable, that was in right relationship. Remember, wisdom brings us, first of all, in right relationship with the Lord. And then we go out of our way to be in right relationship with everyone else. Sometimes not possible, but we've got to make sure that we go out of our way to be peaceable, gentle. That means seemly, fitting, patient. Oh, bless the Lord. Reasonable, compliant, ready to obey, full of mercy, full of good fruit. Again, in that verse 34, he talked about the meekness of wisdom. Meekness, we talked about that characteristic, which in a lot of the new translation, you won't find that word meekness, but it isn't gentleness. It's the opposite of self-importance, self-interest, self-preservation. It's when we forget self, when we actually self is not there. And that's why the Bible is calling us to die to self, isn't it? And meekness is strength under control. Jesus was meek because that's all he was interested in. He was serving the Father's will. Didn't even care what people said about him. That's always a problem because he wanted to know Father's blessing and Father's well done. Without partiality, without variance, the same standard all the time. And that's okay until it hits home, isn't it? Then the challenge comes. Because I can say, oh, that's wrong. And then one of my kids comes along and is like that, and we got to say, right, you know, we've got to take us. And sadly, I was just talking to a lady the other day, and what's happened, we haven't seen with the prophetic eye, we have people coming into the church, into ministry, who don't stand on the word of God. And she said, oh, I don't agree with, I think she's Baptist, she said, I don't agree with the Baptist College because I believe in same-sex marriage, and my son or daughter's transitioning to be a son. And the problem is then, you see, what happens, we change our thinking because of something very personal. Now, you see, we said it before, now, we don't love them any less. Of course, the Lord doesn't love us any less, does he, when we are stupid? But what God has said, and you cannot change because that, and that's something, again, it comes down to the Lord before anything, isn't it? That's a real key. So the wisdom of God doesn't change, and it's not hypocritical. It doesn't unfeigned. It's not something that is a show. God's wisdom is real, it's practical, it's making the right choice. So that's the definition. We see it in creation, we see it defined, but ultimately we see it embodied in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1.
For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord.
He is our wisdom. So God revealed it in creation, as we talked about those things, that how God reveals creation, conscience, Christ, and Jesus comes and reveals God's wisdom, reveals he is the wisdom. Colossians says, remember Colossians, they were debating who Christ was, but then he said, look, he is the God-man. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Redemption, God reveals his wisdom in redemption because he wants us to get to that place where we were created for, to know him, to commune with him, to see as he sees. That's wonderful. He is our wisdom. He is our wisdom. But out of that, he calls us. He said, this is what wisdom is. Now it's your turn. You have to be wise in your life, in your lifestyle, in your choices, in your decisions. And he didn't suggest that. He commands that. That's what he's looking for. Ephesians 5.
See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand that the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God.
Walk as wise, not as fools. So he said, listen. And of course, the second half of Ephesians is the behaviour. First half is what we believe, because you've got to get that straight. You've got to get foundation, who you believe in, what you believe in, who you're building on. But out of that, it is practical, because it doesn't matter. You say, well, lots of people say, I believe. But if it's not worked out in our lives, then it isn't faith. It's just knowledge. It's not wisdom. Wisdom is the outworking. But even then, of course, wisdom, still got to apply wisdom, haven't you? Solomon, Old Testament, the Bible says the wisest man. He knew, and he should, but he still didn't apply it, did he? Fully to the Lord. But you see, God's weaving that wisdom into us. When you think of Abraham, how of course we look at the points where he obeyed God, but then we see his cowardice. We see his I didn't have a lot of backbone sometimes, did he? When he was in Egypt and Abimelech, no, she's not my wife, she's my sister. And then when she got on to him and nagged him, instead of standing and saying, no, she's staying here with Hagar, staying, you know, when this is the initial part, he says, you will do what you want for a quiet life. And that's always a problem, because, so we see even in Abraham, God working, until he comes to a point where he says, Abraham, take that son. Mm-hmm. Oh, but there was a working, there was a weaving, isn't it? And Joseph, I was just reading Joseph, and I do chuckle, because of course he's a young teen, isn't he? And he has those dreams. And instead of keeping them to himself, he comes to his older brothers. And I know what that is. And he's going, I got this dream and you're going to bow down to me. Is that so? Well, the older brothers go, boom, have a bit of that. And of course, the trouble is he kept, and it was him, there was so much hatred, really, so much bitterness. But God was working his purposes out. And of course, in the middle of it, what was he doing? The Bible says, even when he revealed himself, or when he saw them, you can see the little, he did squeeze him a bit, didn't he, Joseph? Yeah. And the Lord, I might have worked on him, I think, because initially he said, yeah, you come here, you snakes. And he said, and then he kept Simeon back in jail. And so the Lord was working through him to a point where he says, look, you did it for what you thought was evil, but God was working out his purposes for good. And that's wisdom of God. Not always knowing, not always wanting to know, but knowing God knows best. And sometimes we can see it. Sometimes he imparts that wisdom to us, as we read in a minute. But ultimately, it's walking wisely. The choices we make according to as God directs us. Colossians 4, similar verses. Colossians 4, 1 to 6.
Master, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven.
Is that Colossians 4?
Yeah.
What? Verse 1.
Verse 1.
Is it? Yeah, 1 to 6. Yeah, it is. Yeah, sorry.
Verse 1.
Yeah, yeah. I just tested to check it.
Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Am I on the right track?
That's it.
And pray for us too, that God may open the door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone.
See, ultimately, Christianity, of course, is relationship with the Lord, but that has got to be worked out in every single part of our lives, isn't it? Wisdom, speech, he's talking about there. Of course, he starts off, doesn't he, with our relationship with the Lord. Devote yourself to prayer. If our vertical relationship is right, that is going to be. But if that isn't right, there's no chance of me being more patient. There's no chance of me being my words being full of grace. Got no chance of it. That some of us are nicer than one another. Some of us are not particularly very full of grace at all. Some of us, so that's got to be right. Devote yourself to prayer and out, live wisely. And then he says, make the most of your opportunity there. But the old is redeeming the time. We have a moment in time on this planet, and to make the most of it, isn't it? To really make the most of knowing Him, showing Him. And that's the most important. Just again, listening to a young girl in work today, and she said, "Oh, my aunt died yesterday, 59. When we're in your 50s, no, when you're older, that's not old at all. But you know, isn't it amazing? Just in a moment, people just listen, you pick up your paper, and someone's just gone, heart attack, and all these things, just in a moment of time. So, redeeming the time. Wisdom is that. Paul longed for the people of God, didn't he? And again, Colossian church, he was praying for them. And of course, the Ephesian church, he starts off with a prayer, good prayers to pray over the church. Say, Lord, I don't know what to pray over the church. Ephesians, Colossians 1. No, yeah, so yeah, it's you, Ken, again.
For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light.
So his prayer was, Lord, fill them with your wisdom and your understanding so they can do your will. And of course, you can count 7, maybe 8 things that out of the wisdom of God, the filling of the wisdom of God, comes a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him, bearing fruit, good works, growing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with power, endurance, patience, thankfulness. See, when we have more of the wisdom of God, produces patience and endurance, even in difficulties. Why? Because thankfully we've been into God's word, and we've seen men and women going through some terrible things. What on earth? We look at Job, again, a wisdom passage. We look at Joseph, hadn't done anything wrong, went through. Now we see others that brought it on themselves, didn't they? Jonah and others. But even in the midst of that, we can see, if we listen to the wisdom of God, we can see God working out His purposes. And that is wisdom that produces patience and endurance in us. Well, that's what He's asked about. We've defined it. God is asking for it. Well, He gives us some pointers how to get it as well. Proverbs 9:9-10.
Instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning. The fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding.
Reverence and receiving. Teach and they will listen. And that's a problem, isn't it? Because I don't mind listening to what I know or I like to hear. But when it's not what I want or want to hear, that's more difficult. And that's where teachableness, it comes in. And reverence, ultimately the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What does that mean? It means seeing God for who He is. Knowing Him, that He is awesome. Again, when we understand who His wisdom, who He is, His great seed in creation, seed in Christ, we stand in awe of Him. And again, sometimes when we have a clear sky, I did see a few stars last night, not many. But that is wonderful, just to look up at there at night. So that's what he said to Abraham, look at. Abraham, he didn't have a clue about the size of the universe, did he? He knew there were stars in the sky. But we know when we look at the stars, the creator of the universe spoke them into being and is our Father. So if he can do that, he can hold it all together. When we ask him, when we need him, when we stand in awe of him, we can say we understand the wisdom of God. Fear of the Lord, reverence, receiving him, asking of him, Lord, I don't know what to do here. Give me your wisdom. Give me your wisdom. Give me a direction. James 1:1-6.
James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed.
So again, we do it, sadly we do it too much. We take a verse and we, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask the Lord. But again, the context is, when we go through the difficulties and the problems, the Lord is working out them, and we don't understand, Lord, give me wisdom. What are you doing here? Now, you may not understand it fully, but he's giving you wisdom. Say, Lord, when I'm in the will of God, I'm in the will of God. And whatever comes, difficulties, good, bad, indifferent, Lord, you're in charge. You're in control. Mm. Now, again, we've got to be careful that we haven't been done something silly or made a bad decision. And that's okay. You just come before the Lord. Wait a minute now. This is happening. Make sure it wasn't my stupidity. But generally, we're walking with the Lord and the things are coming. And we say, Lord, I need your wisdom here. Just to appreciate, sometimes to know what you're doing. But even if I don't know what you're doing, I know you're doing it for my benefit, to create something in me. And that's the context, the wisdom to know that God knows best, even in the midst of the most difficult situation. And to do what he says. Very difficult sometimes, but wisdom is what? The wise man built his house upon the rock. What does that mean? Hearers and doers, he said. This is a wise man who hears my word and does them. Foolish man is the one who hears same words, but he doesn't do them. Same storms, same wind, same rain, but he hasn't been built. He's not doing God's word, and of course, everything collapses. Thankfully, it isn't just standing in awe of God, stand asking of him. Thankfully, his word, he hasn't left us alone, has he? He's shown who he is through Jesus, but he's left us his word, his nature, character through God's word. Psalm 119.
Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path.
Again, some great pointers. Word of God, statutes of God, make me wise, give me insight, give me understanding, restrain me from being stupid, from going into sin, restrain me from drifting. That's what God's word does. It imparts wisdom. The Bible says it makes the simple wise. And some of us aren't pretty simple. But again, it's nothing to do with intellect, is it? Nothing to do with that. Is applying God's word. And as we just said, you can have more knowledge than anyone, but if you don't apply it, you could be a knowledgeable fool. How about these verses to a young Timothy from an old Paul? 2 Timothy 3.
But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
So there is, in God's word, would make you wise to salvation, and is enough to reprove, to turn you the right way up, to make you complete in righteousness, understanding, bless the Lord. Other words from there, Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, overflow you in wisdom of God. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with wisdom. That's how we do it. The word of God bathed in us, overflowing us. Daniel, what did Daniel? When he said, tell me the dream and the interpretation. You have to laugh, Nebuchadnezzar. And the thing is, there's no argument with him, was it? No, you do or you finish. And they were just about to be wiped out. I mean, you think, dear me. That's a clever thing. But anyway, Daniel said, oh, no. He had enough clout to say, let's have a time with the Lord a minute. The Bible said they sought the Lord. The Lord gave them understanding. And then Daniel 2 says, Lord, give me interpretation. Daniel 20, Lord, I bless you. Thank you. You are blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to you. Romans 11, Paul has just been speaking and telling us our state and God's salvation and the answer to our state, our sinful state. And he just gets caught up with the Lord, isn't he? At the end of chapter 11. The depths of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgment. His paths are beyond tracing out. Heaven will give us great understanding of which way we went and how that happened and why that happened. At the moment, his paths are beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him, through him, to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Oh, the depths of his wisdom, the riches of his wisdom and knowledge, and is ours if we will avail, revere and receive him. Because ultimately, what is the Lord trying to do? Ephesians 3 verse 20, to show off the manifold wisdom of God through the church. That's why the church should be salt and light. And when we're about our work and walk, we can speak the word of wisdom, isn't it? Again, that's a gift of the Spirit, but we can speak wisdom generally. Why? Because we're in God's word. We know what God thinks on a situation. And people may come and say, well, Dave, what do you think of that? I say, oh, I'm not sure. But perhaps that's the way to go. Perhaps that's the... why? Because we are representing the Lord. Remember, we are salt and light. We have access. They don't have access to, they have access to God's word, but they don't have access to the wisdom of God, do they? We do. And God wants us to, and he tells us to live wisely. And that is, takes some doing, but that's worked out in righteousness and in our behavior, in our speech. But thankfully we have a reservoir and of wisdom from the one who is perfectly wise. Bless the Lord. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.